Well, if you have your Bibles, turn with me. Galatians chapter 1, we're working through this wonderful book. We're just getting started, really, in this book. And we come to our passage today, and I want to get a running start into our passages. We're going to be primarily looking at verses 17 through 20, but I want to do a little back up and do a run at it, all right? So start with me in verse 15. But even before I was born, God chose me and called me by his marvelous grace. And then it pleased him to reveal his son to me so that I would proclaim the good news about Jesus to the Gentiles. When this happened, I did not rush out to consult with any human being, nor did I go to Jerusalem to consult with those who were apostles before I was. Instead, I went away into Arabia and later returned to the city of Damascus. Three years later, I went to Jerusalem to get to know Peter, and I stayed with him for 15 days. The only other apostle I met with at that time was James, the Lord's brother. I declare before God that what I'm writing to you is not a lie. So I want you to examine Paul's timeline here, and it's really interesting because what we saw is Paul gets saved. He starts to, and so this does very little ministry. He comes to Christ, and almost immediately he goes to Arabia for 3 years. What's Arabia? It is a barren wasteland in the Sinai Peninsula. It is a desert for 3 years. But here's the part, and here's the thing about Paul, is Paul wasn't there to preach powerfully. God sent him there to be pruned purposely and to be shaped into a tool that God would mightily use to spread the gospel. So let me ask you a question this morning. Have you ever been in a wilderness season of your life? This is one of the verses that when Pastor Stacy and I, much like last week, when we started reading through Galatians, we had this all parsed out in a different way, or I did in my head. And then we started coming across different moments that, oh, we need to take a pause here. And even when we got to this, you could just read through this little chain of reaction of God's work in Paul's life. And in those few verses, there's a number of years that are in these verses here. It's just not like one day he goes to Arabia for a week, much like going on a vacation, like many of you have planned for this summer. You're going out for just a short time and then you're back. And for 3 years. So Paul comes to Christ. He's radically transformed. And then for 3 years goes into a desert. And so maybe you've been, and this is why I really wanted to even be in a different posture when we talk about this topic. Not from a pulpit, but from a table. Because we've all been in wilderness seasons. Seasons that are difficult, points where you start to ask questions like, why doesn't God do something about the situation in the season that I'm in? Does God really know where I'm at? And I don't know what it would be for you that's causing this wilderness season. Maybe it's a financial challenge. It might be you need a job. It might be a medical issue. It might be a relationship issue. But how many of you would be really honest today? And if you've ever been asked one version of this question or another, but you might have just, when you're in that wilderness season, have you ever asked yourself, why didn't God do something about this? Have you ever been there? I have. We've been there. And the reality is that we all will go through different seasons, and we're going to face waiting seasons. We're going to face those wilderness seasons. And here's the great thing that we can take comfort is God knows and he will do something with us. And so as last month, as Pastor Stacy and I were thinking, and we then went on this, and it's like, okay, we got to do a detour. So Pastor Stacy, if you'd join me, I guess that's where I really wanted to start with this. Because wilderness seasons can really destabilize a person. At some points you can go through them And there's a part you kind of start to, it turns you, some points it's really hard to find the true north. What's the direction? What's the purpose? Where's God? And it can be quite emotional, be quite draining physically, could be draining mentally. And so as we were even thinking through some of our own wilderness seasons that we went through, you know, and this is, we were even talking about it again this morning. When I sit back and look, in fact, one that I just feel like I'll start off was there was a lot of leadership change at our national headquarters where we were at serving in Springfield, Missouri before we came here. And with that, sometimes you just kind of, as another leader in the building, you're trying to adjust to that change. And so there was a series of moments that change was uncomfortable. Frustrating at times, to be honest with you, because some of it's bureaucratic. How many of you love bureaucracy? And there's just parts that you're kind of like, and this is where I'll speak more for me, with those challenges, the wilderness season was, in fact, if I really went back and just to be blunt honest, there was parts I was ready to throw in the towel. I'm like, there's a lot of other ways I can mark my time. And yet, we would be at church services, and God would definitely tell us, you are to be, I have called you. We could go back to a church near Omaha, right? I mean, there was...
It was literally week after week. We were actually in Wyoming.
Yeah.
So we were out in Casper, Wyoming one weekend. We were probably near Omaha one weekend. We'd be at our home church one weekend. I honestly think we were in Oskaloosa. I know Oskaloosa was towards the end. Every single Sunday, the Lord gave us a word. And it might be from the pastor. It might be from somebody in the congregation who came up and shared something. It was week after week after week. And that was on Sunday. And then Tuesday came.
And then I'm back in the national office. And then you get with the bureaucracy. And so all the emotions flood back. And it's like, and so you're dealing with the frustration. But then it's like the word on Sunday.
And then he'd speak again on Sunday.
And then we'd be back on Sunday. And I'd be like, okay, God. And again, you're trying to get yourself out of that wilderness, and yet God's telling you, I've got you in the wilderness. But I don't want to be in the wilderness. And so I'd be back.
He never called it a wilderness, though.
No,
he said, I have you where I want you. You are where you are to be. Week after week, he would say that. And literally, I'm going to tell you, we were in Oskaloosa, I think at a Motel 6. It might have been a Motel 8. Heading to church that morning.
Same quality. You get it.
You get it.
Yeah.
And I looked at him and I said, I'm done. I'm off your roller coaster. Because that's what that wilderness season felt like. It was a roller coaster. And I said, I know what God has spoken every single week. And I'm not letting go of what he has spoken to us. He has been very clear week after week. I am done with the roller coaster. Up and down. So if you want to take that ride, you feel free. I release you to, you know what? I'm going to care for my heart, my job, and my heart and my job and my physical being at that point. It was literally affecting me physically. I'm not on that roller coaster anymore of what has God said. I know what God said. He spoke it very clearly to us, and he's used different people, and he's done it every single week.
And I would keep saying this word, but.
But you're not in the office on Tuesday, is exactly what he would say to me. And I go, I don't, but Jesus is. We'll work through it now.
Exactly. And that was the part that there was a certain point that, and there's a certain point for all of us in the wilderness, in the barren seasons, the frustrating seasons, however you want to put a label in it, when it's the preparatory season, even though we don't look at it as a preparatory season. We look at it as a torture season. And we want the Americanized easy way out. And in the midst of the vice of whatever it is that's turning, God's wanting to do a work of improving, of sharpening. Uh-oh.
Well, I'm just thinking, because there did come a day, and it was on another Sunday in 2022, and the Lord told us we were done, that season was over. And Kent, when we were making plans for the next few months, he's like, well, we're going to be gone from here by then. God's told us that season is done. But you know what he did? He took us through another 18 months.
Yep.
Another wilderness.
Yeah. And it's worth the wait.
But I think he was thinking, well, God's told us we're done, and this we're gonna cross right over to the promised land. It's only gonna be a month, 2 months at the most. Like, why are we planning beyond June? Okay.
No, it's good. Because that's the part. There's just some things that God will do in the wilderness seasons that he can do in no other way. And as we're sitting there talking on ours, is there another one that comes to your mind?
Well, I was just thinking trust. When you walk with him in the wilderness, you learn to trust. I think when the Israelites walked in the wilderness season, they had to hear his voice. And they had to trust that, and they had to listen for it. And so in that season, I think in that whole fall of 2019, we had to just listen and hear. And you had to step in and start believing it. But he was so faithful. He was so faithful to speak it over and over and over, knowing we needed to hear it. Yeah, this morning's song took me back to a hospital room. So another wilderness season was when we were barren. You know, my sister could think about having kids and she would have a baby. And it didn't come that way for us. And so there was a season of literal barrenness. There was a season of hope was given, and hope was taken away. And our second miscarriage, I sat in the hospital, and I said over and over the scripture, the Lord is my strong tower. The righteous run into it and are glad. And I sat in my hiding place. In my wilderness season, I went back to the rock of my foundation, which is Jesus Christ. And I knew I could run to him and that in him I would find. In fact, in that season, I already had plane tickets to go away. And we talked about it. Should I stay and grieve with him or should I? But I think the Lord already prepared for me to go away. He pulled me away from church. And we literally were at that church for 2 months when we lost that baby. And so he took me to a place where I could find healing, which was home. But I knew in that season I could run to the Father, who was my strong tower. And so there's, you know, there's many who have that season of barrenness.
Yeah.
And It's a season where hope is gone. I don't know how to describe to you because people will think it's about the child, but it's about the hope. And that hope is gone. And that hope has been taken from you. And you just don't know if you can hope again. And when I was pregnant with Grant, that's our oldest, people would say, "Are you singing to him?" Or we didn't know if it was a him or her. I knew it was a girl. Shows what I know. Anyway, I was like, no. Like, I'd done that. I had done that multiple times. I had sung to a baby. So no, I wasn't. I'm not going to connect to this. I'm not going to have hope because my hope might be taken again. So in that season, in that wilderness, it was hard to hope. It was hard to have hope after that.
Yeah, and what's interesting, because you never, so you have this whole situation take place, like with our second miscarriage. This was 1 month after my dad had died. And 2 weeks after we had moved into a new ministry season in Racine, being Aaron's youth pastor. So we're literally 2 weeks, my dad passed away. Then 1 month later, in fact, it was on the week of our first youth retreat, winter retreat, we get that news. So you have all the excitement of the new. God's leading you. He's directing us ministry-wise. We're in a healthy church with a healthy ministry, and then you have all the personal stuff going on inside.
I was thinking of another one this morning. Because I feel like I know God called me as a young woman into ministry. And, you know, when I'm 12, 13, and I receive that call, what does that look like to me? Because I had not had models of something different. That was just being a pastor's wife. And yet I was training for Christian education and which was in the church, life groups and
Sunday school
and outreach beyond. So that had been placed in my heart. Well, then we go into ministry. We're youth pastors. We do it side by side. He's the pastor. I come along for free. In a lot of ministries, that was how the model looked. And then we're called into missions. And I knew that the Lord, I don't know if we told you that story, but the Lord showed me that before he told him. He told me what we were going to be doing next. And it was when the Lord showed it to me in like September of, was that 96. In September of 96, he showed me what the next thing was. I was like, well, that's a safe thing to feel because the man who was doing Youth Alive had just started going full time. And so I was like, okay, Lord, that'll be a great next down the road. I can have my family and my little new house and all the things. And so when he walked into me in December and said, I just got a phone call, I was like, well, okay, I just started bawling because I knew the Lord had already showed me that was our next thing. So, but what it really did for me was for the next 26 years, I walked a wilderness. Because I got involved in the local church and I found ministry to be involved in, but I relied so much of my call on his call that I didn't step out of a box of comfortableness. And I lived inside this box, which was kind of barren. And it was a wilderness. There was fruit in that season, but I think there could have been greater fruit had I stepped out of the wilderness and stepped into what God had.
Wonderful. Am I done with you? No. But yes, for this segment, yes. But not done. Give it up for Pastor Stacy. So this is where I guess I'm wanting this message to be more conversational. Because when you're walking in a wilderness, whether it's physically, emotionally, spiritually, the last thing you need is somebody talking down, but someone talking to. And in fact, for the last several weeks, there's been so much confirmation spiritually for me to speak this way to you. Because it's not so much coming from a communicator side as a speaker, but I really felt convicted that this is God wanting you to know. I'm wanting to speak to you today and assure you of the wilderness that you might feel you're in, and you may have every right to feel. God wants you to know he sees you. And so that... So let's dig into how do we walk in a wilderness? In our passage this morning, Galatians chapter 1, let me go back to this. We'll look back at verse 16. To reveal his son to me, I would proclaim the good news about Jesus to the Gentiles when this happened. See, God started a work in Paul, and then when this happened, what's this? What happened? When God revealed to Paul and he saw Jesus. See, Paul had his mission in life. He thought he had life all figured out. He had a very religious-filled life. He had popularity. He had a lot of things that, and even in his culture of his day, people would want to aspire to be him. And so when this happened, on a dirty, dusty road, Jesus gives a vision of himself to Paul, and it radically changes his life. And we read on from there, when this happened, I did not rush out to consult with any human being, nor did I go to Jerusalem to consult with those who were apostles before I was. Instead, I went away into Arabia and later returned to the city of Damascus. It's amazing. He goes into Arabia. It's a desert, barren wasteland, a place where no one prefers to go. It's kind of like, and you know some of the small towns that you kind of go, and I can think of quite a few when we would go back to western Nebraska, because we drive through the towns where nobody prefers to go. Other than the town sign that says there's about 15 people there. And, you know, there's the places. And this was one of those, Arabia, the place that no one preferred to go. Then you get to verse 18. Then 3 years later, I went to Jerusalem to get to know Peter. See, for 3 years, Paul was in a barren wasteland and eventually returns to Damascus. But God's changing Paul's life. There is a reason for that Arabia season. There's a season for that wilderness season. And I've come to realize that God often does extraordinary destinies out of difficult seasons of the wilderness. Sometimes God gives you a dream, and he gives us a dream, and he sends us off in a wilderness to prepare us for it. And think back through scripture of different people. It happened to Moses when escaping Egypt. He wandered with the people of Israel for 40 years. In fact, 40 years in the same Sinai Peninsula that Paul's in now. Interesting, isn't it? It happened to be Joseph, who God had given him dreams, and then his own brother sells him into slavery, and he's in a slave in Egypt, but then God gives him favor rising in Egypt to fulfill those dreams. It happened to Elijah, who proclaimed drought to the king of Ahab and then was sent to a wasteland for part of that time. And in fact, it's, again, the exact same place that Moses and Paul found themselves in. It happened to David, who was anointed king and then spent years living in the wilderness running from King Saul. It happened to Jesus, who was baptized and had the Spirit come upon him, but then was sent out in the wilderness for 40 days. See, Jesus went from a moment where he gets water baptized And God speaks loudly over this moment, "This is my son." So it's that same moment we talked about how God spoke to us Sunday after Sunday. God couldn't speak any clearer. "This is me." Right? And then you go right back into, you have that moment. So we have that moment even in this sanctuary today where you're going, "Okay, God's speaking to me." Guess what? In about 20 minutes, you're going to be out from this building. And you're going to have the emotions and some of the thoughts come back. What will you do? The wilderness is still there. But guess what? God's wanting to give you a promise and some hopes to walk into this wilderness. So a couple thoughts that I want us to drill into, and I hope you embrace this. One, with God, a waiting or a wilderness season is never a wasted season. God has a purpose. He has a purpose for the season that you're going through. And as difficult as it is, you just need to know when you hold on to him, he will pull you through and do things and perform miracles that you would never expect or believe, no matter how hopeless, no matter how dire. There is never, ever a wasted season in God's economy. Another thought is if God always meets your expectations, guess what? He doesn't have the opportunity to exceed them. In our American culture, it is so easy that we have our ideal, and if somehow our ideal isn't matched, it isn't great. And one of the amazing parts is when we sit and trust God, guess what? He will exceed any expectation beyond what we could ever ask, think, or imagine. Another thought. When you're in your wilderness season, is just because God is silent doesn't mean that he is absent. There's moments that you may not hear him, but it does not mean that he does not hear you. Scripture is clear that when we call, he hears. When you cry out to him, he hears. And there is a moment that we can always take assuredness of, is that when we're going through a season, God is moving you to a place he's going to reveal his miracle in your life. And he is preparing that, even in this moment when you feel like he might be silent, he's still working. So let's go into this question. So how do I survive a wilderness season? So how do I take some of those truths? What do I do? What do I need to go four of them that I just want to quickly run through? Don't assume that the wilderness season means you've made a wrong turn. One of the amazing parts is when we get into a wilderness season, immediately we start to go, "What did I do wrong? Where did I go? Where did I mess up on?" And there's a moment that this is where we've got to quiet our mind, quiet our hearts, and this is the hardest part of the wilderness. When you're spun, there's a moment that you just get back into your relationship, that moment in God's presence, and just say, "God, help me to be calm and to be still before you." Look at Exodus chapter 13, because one of the great parts when we look at this in Exodus 13, verses 17 and 18, and this is when the children of Israel are trying to break out of Egypt. When the Pharaoh finally let the people go, God did not lead them along the main road that runs through the Philistine territory, even though that was the shortest route to the promised land. God said, if people are faced with a battle, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led them in a roundabout way through the wilderness towards the Red Sea. Thus, the Israelites left Egypt like an army ready for battle. So here's the interesting thing. They had their whole mind, "We're going to go the short route." And God is like, "No, I don't want you to go that way." Because when you see some of the giants you might still have to face, and you will face them, but I've got a time for that. Go this way. Trust me. Go through the wilderness. I'll get you to the promised land. So realize God's in control of even where you're at right now, wherever you're at in your wilderness, God's got you. Secondly, stay on the path no matter how scary it gets. And this is the part. Some points it can get really hot. It can be really scary. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 19. So if you're suffering in a manner that pleases God, keep doing what's right. Trust and trust your lives to the God who created you, for he will never fail you. So when you get into the scary moments, what do? Trust God. Because he will never fail you. Thirdly, judge God's goodness by the cross, not by today's trial. Come on, people, that'll preach. And I'm trying not to. Judge God's goodness by the cross, not by today's trial. And especially when we've gone through some of the last words that Jesus said on the cross, because Jesus, as he was going to the cross, those last seven statements were pleas or really prayers. Because Jesus knew what needed to be done, but he still, God, if there'd be any other way. But guess what? There wasn't any other way. And when God leads you to where he has called you, guess what? He will accomplish his will that will be more than what we would ever ask, think, or imagine. Look at Romans chapter 8, verses 31 through 39. I'm going to roll right through this, but it's amazing when you read Romans 8. What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can be against us? Since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? See, in other words, here's God saying, you know what? Paul is speaking, in an incredible way to the Roman church here. And he's saying, you know what? If God would even allow his son, lead his son to lay everything out, to give, God's going to give everything, his son, to do for us that we could never do. How much more will he do for you? Verse 33, who dares accuse us of whom God has chosen for his own? No one. For God himself has given us right standing with himself. Who will then condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us, and he is sitting on a place of honor at God's right hand pleading for us. Can anything ever separate us from God's love? Does it mean he no longer loves us if we have trouble or calamity? Does it mean when you're having that hardship, that wilderness, that God doesn't love you? Absolutely not. Or are you persecuted or hungry or destitute or in danger or threatened with death? As Scripture says, for your sake we are killed every day. We are being slaughtered like sheep. Verse 37, no, despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours in Christ Jesus, who loved us. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love, neither death nor life, neither angels or demons, neither our fears for today, nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all of creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. And isn't that amazing? See, that hardship, that wilderness cannot separate you from God's love. And when he loves you, he wants to let you know God plays favorites in the sense that anybody that comes to him, he wants to show his favor on them. And guess what? Another word for that is grace. God wants to show you his grace on your life like you've never seen to this point before. And many of you have seen God's grace in incredible ways. But guess what? The new grace he wants to do is not dependent on how it's been done in the past. He's got a wonderful plan and a purpose for you in the midst of the wilderness that you're in. Lean in to his love for you today and walk strongly with it. Because if God be for us, who can be against us? If the worship team would please come. Fourth and finally, God's guidance and provision always comes one day at a time. And this is the hard part of the wilderness season. The barren seasons, the discouraging seasons. We so much want it to be done. But there's some point you stick in it, trusting him, and watch what God will do in you and through you. God's provision, and I love this, Nehemiah mentions and the helps the nation, and Nehemiah helps the nation of Israel, remembers, not only for himself, but for the entire nation, how God had been faithful and provided as they wandered in the wilderness. He reminds them, hey, this is our story. For 40 years, we wandered in the wilderness. And he goes back to it, Nehemiah chapter 9, verses 19 through 21. Read this with me. But in great mercy, you did not abandon them to die in the wilderness. The pillar of cloud still led them forward by day. The pillar of fire showed them the way through the night. You sent your good spirit to instruct them, and you did not stop giving them manna from heaven or water for thirst. They were provided for in the midst of the wilderness every single day. And here's the amazing part about that manna, and they tried to do it. They tried to stuff some away for the rainy day, for the next day. And yet when they did it and they'd pull it out the next day, whatever they tried to save was actually spoiled. They couldn't preserve it. So they had to keep trusting for the next day that God would give them the fresh thing for tomorrow. And for 40 years, verse 21, for 40 years, you sustained them in the wilderness. They lacked nothing. Their clothes did not wear out and their feet did not swell. What a wonderful reminder is that God will provide for us every single day. And you know what? There is a fifth thing. Let me close this out. There is always a way out. Sometimes it just might take a while. And I love this, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. The temptations of your life are no different than from what others experience. And God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, he will show you a way out so that you can endure. Here's the wonderful part that our God, he will always, always have an exit plan. Are you going to be willing to find it and let him reveal it to you? Are you going to trust in him and trust in that love? See, this is the part that I love as we're going through this. Because friends like Paul and so many others, we must walk through the deserts that we face. But family, I promise you that God has something amazing. He's waiting for you to show you on the other side of this desert. On the other side of your wilderness, God's got something amazing he wants to show you. Are you willing to let him do that work? Heavenly Father, we just come and we just pray before you today. God, and I pray, God, I pray for faith. God, and it's just faith, not just for our plans, but God, I really pray, give us the faith for your purposes, the purpose you have for our lives. God, and the faith that you will work things out. Even when we can't see it, even when we can't feel it, God, I pray that, Father, we trust you, that we will lean into you. And God, we will look back one day and we will see how you did your work. Amazing how you brought us through. And Lord, I pray today that you just continue to reveal yourself to every person in this room in a new way, that your grace is there for them. With every head bowed, I have to ask this question today. With every head bowed, if you're here today and, man, the starting point of finding this grace really comes back to having a relationship with Jesus, to having that relationship with God that to be able to turn to be able to find. And this isn't about churches. This isn't about services. This is about your faith in a God that loves you, a trust in a God that has a purpose and a plan for your life that you cannot find any other way apart from faith and trusting in Him. And so for those here today, you might be in a challenging place, but I will tell you this. The only way to get out of that challenging place is to trust Him. Because He loves you so much that He wants to demonstrate His faith in your life, but you've got to offer your life to Him and let Him lead. There's no shortcuts to it. There's no other way than to let Him lead and guide you. So if you're here today and maybe for the first time, you need to make a redecision of that in your life. Or perhaps for the first time, you need to actually say, you know, I've never prayed and invited Him to be my Savior and the leader of my life. And if that's you, whether you're here or you're watching online, just know that He wants to do that work. And if that's you, would you just look my way? You want me to pray with you? Say, Pastor Kent, pray with me. I want to see God's grace at work in my life. I need to give Him control of my life to be my leader and my Savior. And if that's you, maybe it's rededicating your life to Him. If that's you, just look my way. Thank you. Thank you. Wow, thank you. Wonderful, thank you. Man, with so many eyes that look this way, I want us all to say this prayer, because faith to do this is really a prayer. It's just like I'm talking to you. We talk to God. And establishing that faith and that relationship is very much of a prayer. And I want everyone to say this prayer with me. Dear Jesus, thank you for seeing me today. Where I'm at, you see me. Forgive me for doing life my own way. Forgive me of that sin. Come into my life. Be my leader and my Savior. I give my life to you in what Jesus did on the cross for me. Do a new work in my life. Transform me. Change me and give me strength to face this day. In Jesus' name, amen.